Good morning. The gospel reading this morning comes from the book from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Here's an introduction to the gospel reading. We begin the season of Lent with Jesus in the wilderness. There he begins his ministry having just been baptized by John in the Jordan River and having received the divine blessing, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." And in the wilderness, he is tested. It is like the blessing needs to be fired to solidify in his heart and soul. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he endured temptations from the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him to the high place and showed him in a flash all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "To you I will grant this whole realm and the glory that goes along with it. For it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So then, if you will worship me, all this will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you are to worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil brought him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And with their hands they will lift you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, you are not to put the Lord your God to test." So when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. The second part of the reading will be the Psalm 91, and here is an introduction to the psalm. It is really interesting that the tempter in the gospel reading, in the final test, used the scriptures, specifically Psalm 91, to justify his test. "If you cast yourself down, God will raise you up. And also, this is true. It is not a game." Let us sing together Psalm 91, known as "On Eagle's Wings." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let's sing Psalm 91.
Will you join me in prayer? Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, you know our thoughts before they even enter into our mind, our words before they are on our lips. So by your gracious Spirit, may the words of my mouth, and the meditations of our thoughts, of our hearts, and the actions of our lives all be influenced by the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I ever told you about my shop? I don't think I've ever told you about my shop. I love my shop. When we first were looking around for a house, we had priorities about what we wanted and didn't want in a house. And Trina kids me about this, because when we bought our house, we said, well, I mean, we're pretty flexible, but I want a kitchen that really works, and I don't want a steep driveway. And then we went shopping for houses, and it's all chaotic, and it's all like, and somehow we ended up with a house with a kitchen that didn't really work and a really steep driveway, but it's got a shop. How did that happen? She wonders. I love my shop. I have all my tools in there, and I just love it when they're in their right place, you know? And I can stand at my workbench, good lighting, although I'm still working on that, it's not quite perfect. Within one movement, I can pretty much put my hand on all the tools that I would need. It's so great. I love having a project on the go. It is a very happy day that I can spend in my shop with CBC Radio going. It's a great thing. But for all my love of it, my shop is rarely in the state of order that I just described. Somehow, tools migrate to other places. Belongings pile up. These piles of flotsam and jetsam seem to make their way into my shop like little eddies in a stream and just kind of pile up there. And often my bench has only really kind of a small little clear workspace because it's got so much other stuff on it. How does that happen? How do tools migrate, really? How do repair projects pile up and gather dust? It just seems to happen, even though I love my shop. And I love it when it's in the order that I like. And truth be told, it's not just my shop. Have you been in my office lately? My garage? My computer bag? My car? So easily, things just kind of accumulate, and life becomes kind of awkward, burdened. Jesus said, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. This is his words, right? That just seems like a distant dream to me now. How does that happen? To my shop, to my home, to a life that we love and believe in. I think it's time to clean house. It's time to get down to the basics, to the essentials. Well, welcome to the season of Lent. The once a year season of, in traditional terms, fasting, reflection, reevaluation. And the image that came to mind as I contemplated the Lenten theme for this year was cleaning house. What if we spent 6 weeks, the 6 weeks that lead up to Holy Week and Easter, looking closely at the things we need and the things we are totally free to let go of, in order to live the life that we feel called to live, the life we love. In order to, as the song puts it, clear the chaos and the clutter, clear our eyes that we may see all the things that really matter, be at peace, and simply be. Imagine a season in which we look at what has accumulated in our lives and our hearts and our minds and engage in a practice of letting go. Richard Rohr calls it the spirituality of subtraction. Of letting go of our need to make something of ourselves. Letting go of the images of ourselves and the voices in our heads and in our hearts that diminish us. Letting go of that too. Letting go of illusions of how we that we will live forever, and coming to grips with the reality of being and being mortal. Embracing that. Letting go of illusions of how life will be so that we can just embrace life as it is. What if we did some spiritual house cleaning? I wonder what it would feel like as we approach Easter, as we approach that core story of our faith. Would we be more receptive to its transforming power if we were carrying less? Would we be more ready to embrace and follow that path that Jesus walked, that way of Christ, lighter on our feet and more able to love the life we have and pour it out for the world? Because certainly that's what's at stake for Jesus in the desert. His readiness and his willingness to live the life that God has called him to live, he's being tested. He has just received this incredible blessing. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased. Go into this world with that blessing. Just receive that. Goes out into the desert, into the wilderness. He couldn't just go straight from that blessing into the ministry to which he was called. No. First he needed to be alone with it, to let it sink into his body and his mind and his heart and his soul. Own it. Let the mission and the calling and his life settle in him for those days. But as soon as he takes that step into that wild place, well, it's not an easy process. He is tested, challenged. Yeah, if you are the beloved of God, use your power to feed your hunger. Turn these stones into bread. Relieve your discomfort. You deserve a break today. It's tempting to get distracted by the discomfort in life. And Jesus responds, as important as bread may be, my comfort is not what this is about. Yes, I am hungry, but I will let that go for now. There are more important things at stake here. My life is sustained by more than bread. Okay, then, if you're so beloved, come with me to the top of this mountain. See all the kingdoms of the world. See all that you could have. If you're so beloved, it could all be yours. I could give it to you, for you. Let it be for you, not for God. The world could revolve around you. You could have it all. You. It is tempting to make it all about us, to think we could be self-made or self-satisfied, self-centered, to let the ego take the wheel. But Jesus says, no, no, no. It is not about me, actually. Let go of the self-centered way. Let that one go, as it so easily wants to gather around us, to be what part of what we accumulate, the self-centered way. Let go of that too. My life is about something bigger than me. And then the final test. Are you really so beloved? Really? If that is the case, let's just test that out. Throw yourself off this tower. You keep quoting scripture to me, I'll quote some scripture to you. Upon the angel's hands, God will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Try it. See what happens. Don't just trust God. Test God. If you're so beloved. But Jesus refuses. No. My life is not a game. My relationship with God is not a trifle thing. It's a relationship of trust. And as I walk down the path that is before me in my life, I will need to trust. So there's no test that's going to work for that one. I need to let go of it all and trust the one who has said, "You are my beloved." It's a great story to begin a Lenten journey, because the season of Lent is all about sinking into the call to life and letting go of everything else that distracts us from that call. And traditionally, it's a time to step back and reflect on our life, to reevaluate, to adjust the settings of our faith in our life. At best, Lent is a time to step back and recognize the many forces that draw us, pull us away from God's claim on us as beloved. Lent serves as a time to declutter and refocus. Saw a cartoon a while back. I couldn't find it so we could put it on the screen, so you're just going to have to imagine this one in your head. Minister who was standing on a polished marble floor, so polished it was like a mirror. And there was this majestic stained glass window behind this minister. And he stood with his chest kind of puffed up in regal pose, wearing a long cape-like robe, lined with white fur and stitched on the edge with silk all the way back flowing behind him. And on his head was a crown studded with gems and jewels, sparkling in the light, and he was talking to a sheepish-looking parishioner and saying, "Now, Farnsworth, what's all this nonsense about me having lost touch with the congregation?" We can lose touch with what is truly at the center of things, with what is truly life-giving. Our life can accumulate distraction, clutter, static in the system. And Lent is a time to let go. The traditional question that we ask at the beginning of Lent is, so what are you going to give up for Lent? And frankly, if shedding vices does the trick to reset your life, well, have at it. Go for it. If it helps you to refocus, if it's one of those kind of bells in your life that having given something up, it will remind you to focus on what is precious and what is central, then good. And it is tempting to try and find some hook, some formula, some magic kind of to trick ourselves into letting go and into refocusing. I have yet to find such a formula. However, I do believe that in our lives we accumulate belongings and beliefs and habits that clutter and really do make it hard to walk the path of faith, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to love our God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. My workshop is harder to use because of all the stuff in it. My life is no different. My life of faith is no different. The challenge is to simplify, to travel light, to let go of that which does not serve life, the life to which we are called, to face the insidious creep of accumulation and distraction. Me? Well, my goal is to get my shop back, to clean house, to let go of everything that clutters my space, and in the process, to clear my mind, to clear my heart, to clean house within as well as without. To let go of everything that has accumulated in my internal space that creates static in my relationship with the divine and with you and with myself. I invite you to join me in a season of letting go. Amen.